Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. I don't have perfect vision. If I take my glasses off and I look forward, I don't see much of anything at all. I mean, I can see your shape. You know, I could probably point to each and every one of you. But the truth is that, as far as facial features are concerned, you are literally a blur. True story. But when I wear my glasses, they allow me to see the world for what it really is. It allows me to see the world better than I can see it when I'm all by myself. I have what's called myopia, or if you want it in layman's terms, nearsightedness. Honestly, if I took my glass off, I could deliver this whole sermon, because I can see what's right in front of me. The hard part is that before I got my glasses, I remember, as a kid, I had no clue. I didn't realize that my reality was that I had blurred vision when I looked far away. It wasn't until I went to the eye doctor that literally my eyes were opened to my ailment. Now, I can see that some of you here are wearing glasses, and some of you are not. But the truth is that we all struggle with the same sort of nearsightedness, maybe not in our physical vision, but certainly in our everyday lives. And it's precisely for this reason that God gives us the words, specifically those words found in Psalm 39. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my life is as nothing before you. You know, from a simple reading of this psalm, and we're going to continue through it a little bit more too, but we really can't pinpoint what event it was in David's life that inspired him to write Psalm 39. But honestly, that's for our benefit, because it allows us to put in our own life circumstances into the psalm. It allows us to stand in David's shoes, because the same thing is true for all of us. When we look at our life, it is amazing how small and inconsequential that is to who God is. And what David is sort of striking on here is the fact that we're always looking at the present. We're always looking at how my life is shaping up. Right? We see the suffering. We see the hardship. And it doesn't matter what sort of suffering or hardship it is. There are wars around the world. Right? Terrorism. I think it was just this past week somebody drove another car into a crowd. Like, we see these things that happen, and even in our own country, with political unrest, and you know, I heard on the news yesterday that there's supposed to be a big storm that's going to be blowing through here this afternoon, and the truth is that when the news rolls down to us, it makes us afraid. We're worried about suffering in the world, and it's true about the external suffering, the things that, you know, sort of happen around us that we can't really affect at all, but then even when you think about your own life, the reality of sickness, the reality of death, the reality of broken relationships or financial hardship, it's all real. And, you know, certainly there might be times in our life where we get a little glimpse of joy, or, you know, we can convince ourselves that we've been happy for, you know, so long. But the truth is that these problems, this suffering, it always comes back. And so when we look at our present time, our present reality, it's no good. It stinks. It's awful. It's not somewhere I want to be. But the truth is that this suffering, it causes us to be nearsighted. When suffering comes into our life, all we can see is the suffering. When things go wrong, all we can see is the wrong. And it's really hard for us to sort of break away from what's right in front of us and to look ahead, to look forward to what is beyond that suffering. And the truth is that if we continue to stay in our reality, we're going to get let down. We're going to be disappointed. You know, say you're struggling through sickness. And so who do we always trust in for sickness problems? Doctors. But what if the doctor lets you down? We can't trust simply in doctors. I mean, certainly, you know, for our problems, you know, we do need to trust in doctors to a certain extent. But if that's where we're saying this is all that there is in life, we're going to have a huge problem. If we put our trust in some idea of peace that we have, my friends, wars are not going to go away. Even if we can convince ourselves that we have peace in our country for now, there were countries in the past who always thought they would live in a land of peace. It's never existed for any country forever. We can't trust in the ideas of this present time. Government, you know, we get so wrapped up into politics. And we're always so excited when our candidate gets elected, and we're always so depressed when our candidate loses. But we can't trust in this present reality. If we live nearsightedly, without wearing our glasses, without wearing the promises and the word of God that delivers us our future, we're going to be disappointed. Life is just going to continue to be an awful place for us. But when we realize that this is how we live, and then we do what David does, and we seek the Lord, our entire perspective on life changes. God begins to make clear the blurry things that are only on the horizon. See, David continues to write. He writes, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears." The truth is that we're stuck here in this sinful world, and we have to live through all the muck that our sin brings into it. But in the midst of all of this, God tells us to look forward. Because he has something far better in store for you. He has perfection. When the whole world comes crashing down around us, what do we hope in? We hope in the reality that the Lord has given to us. The reality that he wins by dying on a cross and by rising from a tomb. We hope in things that we cannot yet see clearly. The future promises of resurrection, the future promises of restoration, where sin will be no more and suffering will come to an end. My friends, hardships are no secret to God. This is why he sends Jesus into the earth to begin with. Right? We all remember the story, right? At the very beginning, God makes Adam and Eve, and he puts them in the garden, and everything is perfect. There's no suffering, there's no hardship, there's no death, there's no one's upset when their alarm clock goes off and they have to go to work in the morning, right? Everything is good. And then as sin destroys it, God says, "How do I get perfection back for my people?" And he does it by sending his son. And so in the person of Jesus, we already see how he's doing this. Right? We mentioned like war and terrorism and things of that nature. What does Jesus show us? He's overcoming all of that. How do I know? He says, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." He's fighting a spiritual battle for you. He's fighting for your soul. Because when the end comes, when Jesus finally comes again in his glory, there will be no more war. He will take us, body and soul, to be with him forever in a place where suffering doesn't exist, where there is no terrorism. What else we talk about? You know, governments? Everybody's upset by the government. What does Jesus show us throughout his life? Every time one of his opponents comes, the scribes, the Pharisees, that governing authority of the time, even as he stands before Pontius Pilate, he's able to silence everyone with his word. To show that he is the perfect serving king of the whole world. We're going to have a perfect political setting when we get to heaven. It's going to be great. Jesus is just going to rule. What else does he show us, right? We have our enemies of sickness and death. What does Jesus do with sickness throughout his ministry? He heals it. He casts out demons. He makes the mute hear, or the mute speak. He makes the deaf hear. He does all of these things to show how he deals with sickness. And there's not going to be any of it in heaven. And our last enemy, the enemy that really none of us can escape, is death. And when we look at death, if we look at it according to our present time, we can say, "Oh, well, death is the end, and then that's it." But if we look at it according to God's promise, he says, look what my son did. He entered into death on the cross. He shed his blood. He suffered with you. And then 3 days later, he comes back to life, destroying death for all time. This is your reality. In the person of Jesus, we see suffering, we see hardship, and then we're able to look through that to the perfection that God has in store for you, for all of his people. Because he gives us not just the ability to see what's right in front of us. He helps us get over our nearsightedness. The words of God, the promises in Scripture, they're the glasses we need to make everything clear. And so how do we live our lives? We live them as those who are wearing the glasses. We live those who yes, we have to see the problems in front of us. We have to deal with the suffering that we've been given in this life. That's just going to be a reality for us. But in the midst of our suffering, Jesus promises, give us the strength we need to get through it. Jesus promised to give us exactly everything that we need to overcome our suffering. That's what his ministry was all about. That's what his death is all about. That's what his blood is all about. That's what his resurrection is all about. It's about you. And how in the midst of our suffering, we can't do anything about it, but he can. And he does. My friends, the truth is that we all struggle in life. I don't know what your struggles are. You do. You know them intimately. And so does God. And so in order to strengthen you in the midst of your struggles, don't just focus on the suffering you have to endure, but focus on the suffering that Jesus endured for you and the promise he gives you at the end. Because my friends, today the truth is that all sin has been forgiven. All suffering has been overcome. Even death itself has been put to death. Believing and hoping in this promise of Jesus Christ, I promise you, you do see clearly. And now we look forward. We look forward to a new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.